Our scripture today comes from the second chapter of Matthew. When the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more."
How quickly the world turns, and how quickly the world is turned upside down in the space of this time. One of the most debated things is the timeline of Jesus in these early years. There is something that happens because Jesus is born at about that time when the census is given. Herod gives a decree to kill all babies under the age of 2. Herod dies. And sometime in this time, Joseph and Mary take the boy to the temple and have it dedicated, are visited by the Magi, and then leave for Egypt. Now, it would seem that there are logical answers to these questions. One is that Jesus would have to have been presented in the temple in the first 2 weeks, 8 days, after his birth. And when Jesus goes to the temple and is dedicated, they dedicate 2 doves. Anybody know from first century understanding what that meant? Mary and Joseph were poor. That was the lowest level of sacrifice in the temple. Another clue for us is when the wise men get there, they're not in the stable anymore. They're in a home. And after they are in the home, and after the Magi come, Herod hears and makes the decree. So we figure it's a little less than 2 years end to end, but a very important thing happens in that time. Mary and Joseph, who were so poor that they made a dedication of Jesus using the lowest rung, become wealthy enough to go to Egypt and run away from Herod and have money to live on. God provides the fortune of a king in order for his will to be fulfilled. They go from paupers to travelers in the space of that time. I have a personality that wants to know before I leap. You know, I come to the edge and I look and I sound out, how far is it? How fast is it? What does it look like? Joy, when I go to a track meet, do I take anything with me just in case? I have clothes for rain. I have tarps. I have changes of socks. I have changes of shoes. I have warm layers. I have dry layers. I have different kinds of layers. What do you think this does in terms of my availability for making resolutions, taking leaps of faith for God? I said, God, if you'll just open up the Red Sea. I'll check out the ground, see if it's safe, and then maybe I'll go through. You see, that's most of our tendencies. Maybe you don't have it as bad as I do. I pray that you don't. But as you approach choices for God, do you think that you need to see everything in place first? I have lots of people that I have seen over the years who have the same problem as my friend Phil, who make the same resolution and fail again and again. In fact, I don't know if you've seen the exercise machines and the diet offers on TV, but they'll be going like crazy for the next 30 days. Why? Because people try it and fail every January. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and a very profitable thing for them. And I think it's because of a very important thing. I think the goal in life for Americans is, I want to feel good about myself. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think as Christians we should say, why? See, I think there's nothing wrong with losing weight, but why is it that you want to lose weight? So I'll be healthier and have more strength for serving God? Would that change the way that you look at dieting and working out? I think it would, because it takes the focus off you and moves it toward God. See, God's business is transformation. God's business is transformation and repentance. It's a turning all the way around, changing something so it's no longer the way it was ever again. Have you driven by some of these substations and seen the big transformers in there? What transformers do is they step down the energy and they take it from high voltage into something that you can actually use. I think a problem that we have as humans in this world is that we plug into a power source that doesn't feed us, that doesn't fulfill us. It just sustains us for the moment. When I was studying Gary Smalley's relationship videos, he talked about it's like we live in a 110 world and we need a 220 feed. I don't know if you understand that, but it's the difference between your refrigerator and the light in the corner. And he says, when we plug into the right power source and we're being fed the way we were designed to be fed, something great happens. We become conduits of that energy. One of the prettiest New Year's celebrations I ever saw, I unfortunately had to watch by video, but it's in Wyoming, and the snow was deep and crisp, and as the sun went down on New Year's Eve, a light lit at the top of the mountain, and it began to make its way down, and what you couldn't see in the dark started to reveal itself, because as the light came down, other lights began to shine. And what was happening is one person at the top was carrying a torch and lighting all the torches on the way down, and the light came all the way down the mountain. The reason that struck me so much is no one could see any of the individuals, but everybody could see the light. No one knew who it was who passed the light. No one knew who received the light, but they knew the light had been passed forward. See, I think as we make our New Year's resolutions, we should think of it in terms of Wesley's covenant and say, God, what is it that you need me to do to pass on that light? Do you need me to just stand there and have my light lit so it'll be available for the next person to come? Do you need me to travel? Make that light continue to move forward? Is it okay that nobody knows which one I was? Is it okay that no one may remember my name, but only remember the light? See, I think that is the God-like transformation. It's not what it is we do, it's who we do it for. So instead of doing things that make us temporarily feel better about ourselves, can we do something that passes the light on? I think we can. But it begins with looking at resolutions, the changes that we want to make in the world, and changing them to self-focused to outwardly focused. There are lots of good resolutions, one of which I think is reading the Bible more. I can't tell you how many people I know who started saying, I'm going to read the Bible this year. And they start reading. And they read Genesis. And they read Exodus. And it stops about right there. Because when they get to Leviticus and Numbers, it gets really dry and really boring. And it kind of tears you apart. Because you really want to keep going. But there's nothing that draws you in. Get in a Bible study. There are sites I can give you. One is called Through the Bible in a Year. And it'll give you a reading for the day. Something that's easier to bite a hold of. If you insist on doing it yourself, I recommend you start with Matthew. Read through the New Testament, then go back to the Old Testament. Sometimes it makes a lot more sense. Once you read the genealogy of Jesus and Mary, some of the stuff in Leviticus and Numbers actually means something. But find a way to take a smaller bite. I think you know the way it works. It's the same thing with weight loss. My goal this year is to lose 30 pounds. It sounds attainable, but it's really kind of tough. Wouldn't it be easier to say, I want to lose 5 pounds by the end of February? That's a target that you might be able to make. And if you're like me, you'd lose your 5 pounds by the end of February and then reward yourself with a strawberry sundae. The second part is finding better ways to reward yourself. The next thing that you need to know is it's always easier with someone else. Having a prayer partner. Finding someone else, say, you know, I am going to use Max Lucado's Upwards every morning. Could you read that for a minute every day, and then we'll text back and forth, or we'll call on the phone, or we'll share what we're thinking about it? It's amazing how different that makes things when you know someone else is doing it and isn't expecting something from you. Works in triathlon training too, doesn't it, Josiah? It's hard to do those long bike rides and those long runs all by yourself. But two of you together can make it go. But I think the most important thing is begin with prayer. How many people have said, Lord, this is what I want to do, please bless it? Instead of, Lord, what do you want me to do? Show me. Pray. Lord, what is it that you want me to do in this year to come? Lord, who is it that you want me to do it with in the year to come? Think about your past and the circumstances you're looking at and try to set up incremental wins. Try not to make it all or nothing, because most of the time, it'll be nothing. Set reminders, plan rewards. And this is my biggest one, is focus on replacing negative habits with positive ones. When I want to eat better, I don't say I'm never going to eat apple pie with ice cream again, because I know it's a lie. But I do know that if I eat the good food first, I'll do it less often and I'll eat less. Focus on growth and not perfection. If you're trying to lose 5 pounds by the end of February and you lose 3, that's not a failure. It's progress toward a goal. In this section, the next part is so obvious. You start with prayer, you finish with prayer. And you ask what Jesus wants you to do. Maybe one of the ways to help yourself with your diet is to work in a soup kitchen and see people who have nothing. Maybe if you want to spend less time in TV and reading better books, maybe you could go to the library and read for kids, or putting books in audio for people who can't read. Look for a way to draw closer to God, and then ask Him how to work your way toward it. In the Bible today, we hear of a story where Joseph went from not knowing whether he wanted to be Jesus' father to being Jesus' father and naming him, to dedicating him in the temple as a poor man, to running to Egypt to follow God's will. God may not call you to such a miraculous transformation, but if you call on God, He will call you. And He'll make the provisions that'll bring you there. I want to read those words that Juliana read this morning. And I want you to think about what it is that you might be asked to do in this coming year and who you might be asked to do it with. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whoever you choose. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me work for you or be laid aside for you. Be exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. Now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours, so be it. And the covenant which I make here on earth, let it be ratified in heaven.